pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, no matter how you cut it, this morning's gospel is very challenging. There is a woman in desperate need, and there's no question that she has true faith in the Lord. She calls Jesus Lord 3 times, as recorded in our gospel text. She's truly an example of faith, coming to the Lord, pleading as she is. Truly an example of love, reaching out for a loved one to be healed. Truly an example of humility in the way she conducts herself. Having these great Christian virtues, we know she is a woman of faith. And yet, here's a rough summary of what we encounter in today's gospel. First, it appears that Jesus completely ignored her. She came crying out the first time, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And then Scripture records, but he did not answer her a word. Secondly, then after Jesus' disciples seem to have insinuated that the Lord should just help her out, send her on her way, Jesus essentially said that he had not come for this woman. Remember, a woman of faith. Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You see, the woman who was begging him was a Canaanite, a race that in the Old Testament Israel was commanded by God to exterminate because of their idol worship, which could have infiltrated the people of God and completely destroyed them. The point is that the woman was seemingly rejected a second time by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Scriptures record what happens next. But she came, she knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And it was to this that Jesus, after seemingly ignoring her and then seemingly avoiding her, finally actually speaks to her. But what does he say? "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow. First, the Lord Jesus Christ seemingly ignores the woman, then seemingly actively avoids the woman, and then finally calls her a dog. How would you have reacted? I'll never forget the story of what happened to my dad of sacred memory. The Lord permitted me to serve the last 2 weeks of his life every single day as he was dying in San Diego. And the joy of hearing his confession in the Lord Jesus Christ before he closed his eyes in Christian slumber. I look forward to seeing him again in glory. But when my mom and my dad had their first baby, my dad had just gotten out of the U.S. Marine Corps, fighting for our country in World War II. My big brother, who I never met, of course, was in that blazing heat in the San Joaquin Valley. It was so hot, they came home, they didn't even have a swamp cooler, and he had difficulty breathing, and he died, and he was only about 3 days old. My parents were very young, and they were, of course, devastated, looking forward to starting their family and their life together, and then this happens. My dad told me that he went out walking that day in prayer, seeking help, and he reached out to a pastor. And he found the pastor in front of the church watering his lawn. He went to the pastor humbly, in great need, reaching out desperately, having just lost his baby boy. And he asked the pastor if he would do the funeral. To which the pastor responded that he couldn't because he was basically too busy. Well, needless to say, that didn't go over too well with my dad. He recently served his country, but in that way that soldiers see a different part of life, and so he didn't have too much trouble telling the pastor what he could do. He walked away. My dad told me the pastor, evidently, having realized the seriousness of the situation, actually went running after my father. And he did the service. This true story has always made a deep impression on me. People need their pastors to be there for them. I'm humbled by my limitations, but I pray that I'll always be able to serve my people faithfully when you are in time of need. If I do not respond to the real needs of my people, not only would I hurt them, but I could do harm to their faith, to your faith in the Lord. But what happens when it seems that the pastor, the good shepherd of our souls, the true God, the Lord himself, what happens when it seems that he is the one who does not answer us? There are times, people of God, when God is silent. The scriptures talk about the God who sometimes hides himself, the true God. There are times that we feel that we're being ignored. And that is not an unusual experience. And if you have gone through that, and if you feel that you're going through that now, this is something all Christians experience at times. It hurts. And it can hurt so much that we're tempted, in accord with our sinful nature, to go tell God what he can do in our anger and in our confusion. You know, there are two kinds of atheists. There are those who base their position in atheism based on intellectual arguments. And then there are those, and I'm convinced many more, who are emotional atheists because they prayed to the Lord for help in time of need and they didn't get the answer they wanted. They said, God, watch me now. It happens more often than we realize. But brothers and sisters in Christ, what is being presented to us in this gospel this morning is that true faith does not walk by sight. It looks past appearances, even the appearances that the Lord himself permits in our lives. This gospel is given to us this morning so that we would learn from this Canaanite woman, this outcast. She did not give up, even though many people would reason that she should have. That's a problem with us. And this is what reveals our sin. We don't want to live by faith. We want to base our lives, even as Christians, on what we see. We go along with our culture of instant gratification. And if we don't see it now, if we don't get it now, then we complain that God is not God. And we accuse him. And we turn away. We want God to do exactly what we think is right. When and where we say. And we prove ourselves to be sinners whenever we behave this way. Because we're always putting ourselves first. That's not what this Canaanite woman did. She insisted on ignoring appearances. It has been said about this account from Matthew 15, but it wasn't really the woman who was looking for Jesus, but it was all along Jesus who was looking for the woman. What we take as ignoring her, Luther has a different take. Look how Christ drives her faith deep in her heart, that it becomes strong and firm. Epiphanius, the Latin, wrote, It was not that the Lord was unwilling to heal her, but he might reveal her great faith and humility. The fact of the matter is that while Jesus was being faithful to God in his mission to serve first the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he would, in his time and in his way, do what was best for the Gentile woman. In other words, while being obedient to the Heavenly Father, Jesus was not trying to be cruel towards the woman. It had to be clear in the hearing of the apostles that Jesus was being obedient to the plan of God. Having said that, it's also true that Jesus was actively pouring out mercy upon the Canaanite woman. And here Luther says, there is more yes than there is no. Pure yes is in his answer. But indeed, deep and secretly, and it only appears as a pure no. Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Thanks to what we know about the great things about little dogs. Jesus gave his mercy towards the woman, gave it away, when he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Cat's out of the bag. In the Orient, dogs had no owners. They ran around wild and acted as scavengers for garbage. These were completely unclean to the Jews, and Jews viewed Gentiles like wild dogs. But the term that is used here in this gospel text, Jesus uses a different term. He did not call the woman a wild dog, but used a term of endearment for a little dog, or a household dog that is loved, cared for, and provided for. Why even go here? Because he had to put the children of Israel first, but he would find a way to help all who come to him, even the Gentile woman. Now, I'm personally greatly helped by the word that's used here, because I automatically think of our little pug dog, Henry. I know some of you have had the privilege of meeting Henry. His name means house ruler. He's our pet. But I got to tell you, this dog has it made in the shade in our house. Every single night when I go to bed, I say, come on, Henry. He runs to the little doormat at the front door, and he's there all excited because he knows what's going to happen next. I'm going to bend over and pick him up and carry him upstairs to the bedroom. And he gets carried back down. No one carries me to my bedroom. This dog, he's got the best. And in fact, he enjoys my house more than I do. He's there much more than I am. Needless to say, Henry knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he'll always get what he needs from us. He's a happy dog. Jesus gave this woman an in, and boy, did she capitalize. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And at this, Jesus was trapped by his own words, and he loves being trapped by faith. The woman grabbed hold of the word, you are Jesus. Even when it seems that God is ignoring me, you've opened the way to heaven with your blood. You will not ignore me. You will bless me. Like Jacob, who wouldn't let God go when he was full of fear and doubts. He wouldn't let God go until you bless me. Because I know in faith that's the kind of God you are. Think of the Roman centurion, Matthew 8, who said, but only say the word. Despite the appearance of death at my doorstep, for my loved one, in spite of all doubts, just say the word. And think of yourself. In spite of all appearances, knowing your sin, knowing how you've rebelled against God, yet faith says, I will return to the word. Matthew 9:13, Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but what? But what?
Sinners.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So you can say, I confess. I am only a sinner, only a little dog. But you came for me. You came for me. In Psalm 22, the prophecy of the torment of the cross of Jesus is revealed. And frankly, we switch to the more violent type of dog in this scene. But it shows indeed how great the mercy of God is. The Lord said, "For dogs encompass me, the wild dogs. A company of evildoers encircle me. But even for these," Jesus prayed. "Even for these wild and ruthless dogs, he shed his blood. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." There is power in the humble prayer, not because of the quality of the prayer or how loud or long we pray, but when faith in the gospel is there, the baptism faith. It depends wholly on Christ. Nothing else, no one else. The one who lived and died and rose for me, the one who baptizes me and feeds me with his body and blood. And the crumbs that fall, no, the magnificent feast that comes from this table is given to all the little dogs. And the little dogs are made glorious, marvelous children of God. That is what you are. We rejoice. His mercy has found you, and he will continue to feed you from his table. In Jesus' name. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith. We confess. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.